Good morning. Welcome to worship this beautiful Sunday morning, the second Sunday of Easter, because we celebrate Easter for 7 whole weeks. It's wonderful to see you all here, and there's a couple of faces that I'm unfamiliar with, so although I learned the name of one of them. Hi, Taylor. You are welcome here, and I'm so glad to have all of you gathered for worship. A couple of announcements before we begin. Unfortunately, this is not a wonderful day for some of God's children in this world. I don't know how many of you know the news of the Chabad synagogue in Poway, California. It's near San Diego. There was a shooting there just yesterday. One person died, a few people were injured, and they are deeply held in our prayers. Children of God who were attacked for believing what they do and attacked in a moment of hatred and violence. These are the moments when we know that God weeps with us, and we will keep them in our prayers today and every day. In other news, it's hard to shift from that. Synod Assembly was this weekend. I was with Marilyn and Margaret at Synod Assembly this weekend, and it was a delight, a joy. I hope that you want to hear all about it over the coming weeks. And got, you know, being brand new in this synod for me as a pastor, it gave me a million ideas and a million wonderful connections with our broader Lutheran church around us. And Marilyn and Margaret, had a great time as well. She's grinning, so I think so. So if you have any questions, if you want to hear stories, ask me, ask Marilyn, ask Margaret, and we'll be talking about that more. And finally, as I mentioned, this is the season of Easter. We celebrate Easter for 7 Sundays, as my mom used to tell me when I was little, a week of Sundays. And during that time, instead of a confession and forgiveness, we do what we call a thanksgiving for baptism. It's a time when we remember our own baptisms. We stand, those of us leading worship stand in our baptismal garments. That's what the white alb is for. And we remember the promise of God that God holds us fast in God's love and forgiveness, and that we are all called, claimed, beloved children of God. So that is how we will begin worship. I invite you to stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, O living one, for you have created all, and you water the earth abundantly. Oceans and aquifers praise you. Rivers and streams bless you. All life is sustained by you, our source. We praise you for Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who frees us from sin and raises us up to new life. Here at this font, we touch the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal flowing through the city of God. Here, death is washed away forever. Here we are grafted into the tree of life with leaves for the healing of the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, into this community, and throughout all creation. Cleanse us from our fears and drown our divisions. Grant that all may drink of your mercy and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our hymn.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, receive our faith in your mercy. Strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter comes from Acts, the fifth chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. We will now intone the psalm as printed in your bulletin.
Hallelujah, praise God in the holy temple. Praise God in the mighty firmament. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lyre and harp.
Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and harp.
Praise God with resounding cymbals. Praise God with loud clanging cymbals.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Revelation 1, 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't turn it too much that way. All right. We're going to get this mic sorted eventually. So, we read this story every second Sunday at Easter. Normally, the lectionary switches between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each year, we're reading different stories out of the gospel, different experiences of Jesus. But this Sunday, the Sunday after all of our celebrations and our alleluias, the Sunday when we still have the lilies, but some of them are maybe looking a little droopy. This is the Sunday that we read this story and only this story. Frequently known as the Doubting Thomas story. Poor Thomas. The only thing he's known for is doubting. But I think there's a reason we read this story with such regularity. I think there's a reason we come back to it over and over and over again. Because really, the Easter story, it is full of people who have moments or days or even a week or more of doubt. Last week we read about the women who were at the tomb and ran back to the disciples to say, "We have seen the Lord." And the disciples thought it was an idle tale, not something to be believed. And then when they see the Lord, and they tell Thomas, who wasn't there with him, they say, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas again says, "Did we lose a butterfly? Okay. It'll be fine. It's not a real butterfly. The real ones are outside. They're fine." They say to Thomas the same thing that was told to them, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas reacts the same way they did earlier. So we really can't say Thomas is the only one who's a doubter, right? The thing is, with faith, doubt is always near at hand. Faith is not the opposite of certainty. Nope, I said that wrong. Faith is the opposite of certainty. Faith means believing in something, living into something, without knowing for sure. We haven't had the privilege of Thomas and the disciples to touch Jesus' risen hands, to see the marks where they crucified him. We live a life of faith, not being able to hold on to that physical, tangible explanation. When I heard the news yesterday afternoon, after a weekend at Senate Assembly of joy in the gospel, of experiencing who we could be as the church, and I saw another body of faith hurt by violence, I had a moment of doubt. How could God let such pain exist in this world? Sometimes it's big things, things that make the news. And sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's just not feeling it today, feeling unsure. These are normal parts of our life of faith. And that's why we read the story of Thomas, the one who is named the doubter for all the other disciples. Because Jesus is there in this story. The resurrected Lord is present in the midst of this doubt. I did a thing I haven't done much since seminary this week, and I actually played around with reading the Greek version, the Greek original of this gospel text. I am not a Greek scholar, but I know plenty of Greek scholars, thank goodness. And there's an interesting thing about one of the verses. It's verse 23 if you're looking in your Bible or in your bulletin, but it's the verse where Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven you." I am sorry. I don't know how to make this better. "And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And the reason I went and read this, and let me tell you what my Greek teacher told me way back when I started my seminary journey, because it's the first class I took. All translators are liars. All of them. Translating a language is not simple. Translating an ancient language from an ancient text is very difficult. And so while this is the translation many scholars have agreed on, I'm here to tell you that I think, and some other biblical scholars, so it's not just me, think that there might be a different way to read this. Jesus says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." That part's pretty straightforward in the Greek. But then Jesus says, "If you retain any, they are retained." He doesn't say that word, "the sins," again. He says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." Done. Good. And then he says, "If you retain," or "if you hold fast to any, they are retained," or "held fast." Jesus has just been resurrected when he tells us this. Jesus has just died and risen for the forgiveness of sins for the whole world. Jesus is telling us how we are the church, knowing that there is another who will doubt, knowing that Thomas is outside of the room and he will have these questions, knowing that we as the church for thousands of years will continue to ask questions, he says to them how to be the church. You forgive the sins of others and they are forgiven. We as the church do that together. We confess our sins, we receive the forgiveness of God because we are called to do that. And then Jesus says, if you hold fast to anyone, they are held fast. When Thomas came back from whatever errand he was on, so he didn't get to meet Jesus that day, and when he said, I've got to see it for myself before I can believe it, Thomas was grieving. His Lord, his teacher, had died. The disciples didn't kick him out. They didn't say, sorry, you can't be in our club anymore because we know the truth and you clearly don't get it. They kept Thomas with them, continuing to gather, afraid of what was going on in the world outside of them, but continuing to gather together as a community, holding fast to one another, holding fast to Thomas in the moment of his doubt, until such a time as he could see and understand the risen Lord for himself. We receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the power to hold fast to one another. We gather together and we confess and forgive our sins and we confess our creed together, what we believe. And some days, maybe one or two of us in the room isn't quite sure about everything we're saying. But we're in the room. We're gathered together. We hold fast to one another. And we are empowered to do that by God, the Holy Spirit, who works through us. This is what the church is. This is what we celebrate when we gather together year after year and say something amazing happened. Someone died and rose again and defeated death forever for all of us. That is an incredible thing to believe. That is so big. No one of us holds on to that on our own. But that's not what Jesus called us to do. So we read this story every year and we remember our own moments of doubt, our own moments of not being quite so sure, for big reasons or small reasons. But every year we still gather together. Every week we gather together. We share with one another and we hold fast to one another. So it's okay if you're having a moment of difficulty or struggle. It's okay if people are unable to come into the church for fear or struggle or whatever other reason. We hold fast to them because that's what Jesus called us to do. And then Jesus called us to do one more thing. And this was actually the whole point of Synod Assembly this year. Jesus sends us out. The point of mission statement of Synod Assembly was what happens in the church doesn't stay in the church. We gather together. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful, miraculous moment that holds us close. We hold one another fast in our faith, keeping us all tied to Jesus. And then we go out into the world. We are sent just as Jesus was, to show the world who God is. Not a God that divides. Not a God that prefers one type of person over another. Not a God that chooses one group of people and not another. But a God who loved all of the world. A God who works for peace, for justice, for love. A God who does everything in love. That's who we are. That's what we show to the world. So we may be doubting Thomas's some days, many days, some moments. But we are also the disciples who know we have seen the Lord. And we go out and tell the world what we have seen. Amen. With the whole church holding one another fast, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Your mercy is great.
Give to all government leaders a renewed spirit of humility and servanthood, following the example of Christ, our leader, savior, and ruler. Uphold ceasefires, treaties, and all agreements and agencies that further the cause of peace on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the resurrection of the wounded Christ, draw near to those wounded in body or spirit. Liberate all
mercy is great.
We give you thanks for all the saints who believed in you and who now enjoy eternal life in your name. Sustain us with your everlasting presence, for you are Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share that peace with your neighbor.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Risen One, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and all for your love's sake.
God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this, the end of all ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body for the forgiveness of, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Christ shed for you. I skipped a bit, didn't I? The blood of Christ shed for you. You know what? It's the second Sunday of Easter, and sometimes we do things out of order. Let us pray, gathered together, some of us already fed with the feast, the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gives everyone a place at the welcome table. Alleluia. Come to the feast.
Thank you.
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with all courage. Amen.